You touch a key, and it just completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? Log on to the Computer Corner on News Radio 620 KTAR. Dial 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. Now, in the Computer Corner, here are the data doctors Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It's hour number two. Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney, a.k.a. the Doctors of Data.
The Godfathers of Geek.
Nah. Not anymore.
No?
We're a kindler...
The High Priests.
We're kindler, gentler...
Of the hard drives.
Tech guys. We're talking about Winter Wonder Scams.
Oh, you thought I said geek. I said Greek.
Greek. Okay, I see. All of the things that are out there... trying to lure you into doing things that you really don't want to do. Phishing scams. Huge one this time of year. Huge, 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 huge problem if you're not careful. And that is eBay. By the very nature of the internet, just statistically speaking, online auctions have always been one of the highest instances of fraud on the internet occur in these online auctions because... there are so many people looking to get over on so many other people, and it's international, and there's all of those things that come into play. So don't, if you're not an avid eBay person, you don't know all the tricks and all the security and all the things that you need to do to protect yourself, don't just go thinking that you got a great deal on eBay for the holidays and la-di-da, and come Christmas morning, you think you're going to have something under the tree for somebody, or... New Year's or whenever you plan to give a gift.
eBay actually has done something very cool to help with this problem exactly. They created a section called My Messages. And so rather than rely on that email that you've got, if you think that there might be something valid with that email and you want to check it out, don't follow the instructions in the email.
Right.
Instead, go to eBay, sign in like you normally would, and go to the My Messages section. And what they've done is it's basically like a private email account that only they can send to. And what they do is they post anything that's important that has to do with needing to update your account or needing information or needing anything in general. Anything that they would have sent to you in some kind of email would also be posted in this My Messages section. So the trick is if you had it in your email inbox, but it doesn't exist in My Messages, then it absolutely positively has to be false, has to be a phishing scam, has to be something that you should not respond to. On the other hand, if it is posted in the My Messages section, then you could follow the instructions that are posted there in that My Messages section, and you know that that's legit now. So it's kind of a cool thing they've done because they recognize the fact that they are a huge target, and they want to make sure that they give you some tools so you can be responsible. So it's kind of a cool tool. Watch, I'm sure, for other auction sites to copy that because pretty much all of them look to eBay to set the standard, and then they follow.
And one of the scams that's going around now is that these folks have figured out how to, or they've not figured out, but they've taken the time to craft very convincing-looking eBay emails saying, hey, there's an auction item that you're part of that you need to address the issue with, something that you bid on or something that you're selling. So if you're an active eBay buyer or seller, you may easily fall prey to that very convincing-looking email because you are currently buying or bidding on something.
In fact, oftentimes it may look like someone asking you a question about an item you're selling. Now, first of all, if you're not selling anything on eBay at the time...
Duh.
If you are, it's going to look almost identical to a regular email that would come from eBay from someone asking a question. Again, the best way to address this and solve this is log in to eBay's website, go to My Messages, and answer those things there. Don't worry about the stuff that's in your inbox.
So what we're trying to tell you is do not trust anything that comes in your email box anymore at face value. Go and do your homework. Go and manually check out the sources. so that you don't fall prey to these. Because it's very easy. It's just a click of a mouse, and they got you.
And you're thinking, well, gosh, if I have to do that much work, is it really worth it?
Well, that's up to you.
That's kind of up to you. There's still quite a bit of email that it's very easy to tell that it's legit because it's not asking you to do anything. Email correspondence from family and friends and people that you work with is oftentimes just correspondence. Hey, I've got this question. You can reply to that question. Big deal. It's not asking you to do anything that's putting you in danger. So there's still a huge volume of email that's going to be in your inbox. It's still stuff that you can just do what you've always done, which is read it, reply to it, do your thing.
You're being redundant anyway. You're the Department of Redundancy Department.
Department.
Hey, let's go back to the phones here, shall we?
Sure.
Who would be next to here on the computer corner?
I believe it is Tex.
Tex, welcome to the computer corner.
And I guarantee you that ain't.
Enjoy you guys when I listen immensely.
Thank you, sir. How can we help you?
Well, I am a Macintosh user. I'm twice blessed. I'm a Mac user, and I have a considerable investment in Apple stock that I bought at 18, and it closed at 74.33 yesterday.
Can I have some?
if you were, I must say I was more lucky than, I had no crystal ball.
Yeah, you were smarter than I. I had the opportunity to buy some lowly company when I first got into the computer business, some MSFT company at like $12, and I said,
Microsoft's never going to make it.
All they have is this thing called DOS.
Duh.
Yeah, so you are much smarter than I, my friend.
Well, because I have suffered no virus attack in the 20 years that I've been using Apple, and I've become a little cocky, and I download stuff that I'm that I know are suspect, and I so far haven't been infected, but
let me ask you, because I think I know where you're going with this. Let me ask you, what version of the Mac operating system are you using?
OS 10 and plus all of the...
OS 10 was the first real opportunity for hackers to come after you. They used long-standing technology. Without getting too technical, they relied on or they borrowed from the Unix category.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of the Unix exploits that have been out there for years are suddenly available to go after Mac folks. So you're still in a less risk factor, let's say. You're a lower risk group because of the operating system that you have chosen.
Because it's less popular, you're less of a target is really what it comes down to.
But we're seeing a dramatic uptick in that. It used to be where it was very rare that you'd see a copycat kind of worm or virus in the Mac area. Now we're actually starting to see things that actually are developed for Mac first because of that Unix kernel.
Well, I keep asking around to fellow Mac users and inquiring of anybody out there if they've been infected, and I've never heard of a hit yet.
Oh, no, there's plenty of people that get infected. Now, you obviously are probably in a... You're probably a little safer. You and your folks in the circle that you're talking about, they're probably practicing, relatively smart.
No, not really. No. I'm an internationalist. I deal in the international business and arena, and I correspond with all over throughout Latin America and in about five countries in Europe, including Turkey, and get a lot of mail. I get 30 or to 50 a day,
mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not trying to argue with you.
No,
I've never heard of anybody using a Mac that got hit.
Well, sure. I mean, and again, when you compare it to the volume of mail that's out there looking to try to attack Windows-based operating systems, I mean, we're still talking about, my understanding is 2-3 or 4% installed base in the entire world. So, you know, it's not going to be, you know, you're just not that big of a target. You're just not that attractive to these virus writers because that's just too small of an audience.
Okay, that brings me to the next reason for calling you. What is the objective of these yo-yos that are doing this? It's so enormously underhanded and cowardly. I mean,
in the past it was all blamed on young, introverted male, kind of nerdy kind of kids that just, you know, didn't have anything better. They were socially inept and didn't really understand what the impact of their actions were. it's now transitioned because there's a lot of money to be made by scamming people. They can link a lot of these things back to organized crime in Russia, in various parts of this country. So there's orchestrated attempts, more so on the phishing scams and the trying to get you to give up your personal information.
Obviously, sure. Going for identity theft and things of that nature.
Or hijacking. Keyloggers. You've heard of these keyloggers. It's something that, forget about the virus for a second. If you go to a website or download a particular utility that installs this keylogger, then all the keystrokes that you're typing are being recorded and sent off silently. And so you're not going to know that you had that. And it's not the traditional virus or worm, but it's certainly something.
Those are no-brainers, guys. I mean, you have to be missing a few cards out of the 52 to download that stuff. I'm talking about the worm and the virus that destroys your hard drive.
No. Nobody's making that kind of worm or virus because that doesn't serve any purpose.
Oh, okay.
If your machine's not working, then they can't continue to spread, or they can't take advantage of your personal information.
Ah, okay.
Nobody's interested in destroying. That was old school. That was the kids going, ha-ha, look what I can do.
And that might still exist on some small part, but that's not the new breed that's out there that we're seeing now.
No, they're coming after you because they want stuff from you, or they want to use your machine as what's called a zombie. So you could be sitting dormant with a worm or a virus or some kind of code or a rootkit in your case that just sits there until, in the instance of the sober worm, the next round of instructions are going to be downloaded by these zombies automatically on the 5th of January. And then whatever it is those instructions are will determine what the next phase of attack, if you will.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, it's war.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I hate to really use that moniker because it's truly nothing like, the real world. But
if I've downloaded a virus into my EMAC that somehow doesn't take, and then turn around and send emails to Windows 88 users or those that don't use Macintosh, do I pass on the virus?
Anything's possible. Any of those things are possible. So
I know, but do I pass on the virus, you think?
You absolutely can if the virus code is written to do that.
Okay.
All right. And text, we'll let you get that phone because we're going to go to our phones. Or actually, we're going to go to a break.
We're going to go to a break. We're long overdue, and we're going to catch back up with paying some bills around here. When we come back, we've got more of your calls and questions. 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Ken and Brandon back right after this.
Monday on Arizona's Morning.